Hey, Warheads, this is Trivial Warfare. We're the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name's Jonathan, and I'm here with my best friend, Chris. What you doing, Chris?
Well, right now, I'm just sitting here talking into a microphone. What are you doing?
It's amazing. I'm doing the same thing.
Wow. It's almost like we're here to do this.
Anyway.
Because we just sit around the house normally with a microphone in front of us.
You don't?
Well, not really.
No.
Nah. We've got an exciting episode for everybody today. It's just Jonathan against myself. So,
oh, yeah. Head to head. We're going old school.
That's right.
So, Chris, one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about that I haven't had a chance to yet, on Facebook, I saw the Superman versus Batman trailer.
Dawn of Justice.
and the Super Friends.
Super Friends.
Yes,
the Super Friends. Twin Powers activate!
The Super Friends trailer, exactly. And the Suicide Squad trailer.
Yeah, two very interesting movies. You can kind of tell that DC is going completely opposite of what Marvel's doing in the movie or in the movie realm.
Now, that's interesting. You say opposite. How do you mean?
So far, what I've seen from Marvel is that they really try to do a lot of action, very personal movies with a lot of humor mixed in it.
They're good with the humor, funny stuff.
Very much so. I mean, even in The Incredible Hulk, which was kind of dark and a little bit of brooding, there's still quite a bit of comedy involved in there. Now, mind you, we've only have one movie in the DC universe, Man of Steel. I don't know if you've seen Man of Steel.
So let's back up a step. Do you consider the Batman movies to be part of the continuous universe, the DC movie continuity?
No, not at all, because they've already said that it's not.
It's not.
Yeah.
The thing I said when I saw the trailer for Superman versus Batman, I didn't really like it that much. It didn't grab me and say, oh, I got to see this. It was very dark.
Very dark.
Very brooding. Superman, I guess the trailer, the clip that I saw was Superman using his heat vision and like a building coming down because he used his heat vision. And the Bruce Wayne of the time got upset about that and started a vendetta against Superman as a future Batman.
Well, but that actually, everything that you saw there actually occurred in the movie Man of Steel. And so that was my question that I wanted to ask you.
Ben Affleck was in that?
No, he was not in it. However, the heat vision, the buildings coming down and everything like that. And they've kind of talked about that at Comic-Con a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that a lot of people complained when Man of Steel came out because there was a lot of destruction that was going on, and it didn't seem like there was any rhyme or reason for that destruction.
Because even in the comic books, that's not Superman's gig.
No, not at all. And so Zack Snyder actually got a lot of heat for that, like a lot of heat. And so what he was telling everybody at Comic-Con this year was that there's going to be consequences, that everything that you saw in the Man of Steel, the consequences of it will be revealed in Batman versus Superman. And what he means by that is one of the reasons why Batman decides to go after Superman is that Bruce Wayne sees a godlike Superman destroying Metropolis and destroying one of Wayne Enterprises' buildings. And he goes in to try to do his best he can to rescue his employees or what have you. But he had thousands of people die from his company, which causes him to decide that Superman is not a good guy at all and needs to be stopped at all costs.
Okay, so with that in mind, I don't dig that as the premise for the upcoming movie. I understand you had to figure out a way to have Batman and Superman fight.
Yeah.
But I don't dig that because you've really changed who Superman is as a character. And I'm not saying they're making him a bad guy, but they're aiming in that direction so that Batman can be the good guy, in a sense. And that's the opposite of how DC has always done their characters. In the comic books, Batman is the guy who lives on the edge, and Superman's the one who pulls him back from the edge.
He's the All-American, right.
Exactly. And so by switching that, I don't feel like it works. It just doesn't work for me. Now, Suicide Squad's trailer, on the other hand, I don't know much about Suicide Squad. I get the concept really quickly.
Right.
And I think that there's a potential, since it's so fresh, there's the potential to do whatever you want with it. And I think it could be really entertaining because you know it's supposed to be dark. These are bad guys who are your anti-heroes. It's a team full of anti-heroes. I could get behind that a lot more than I could the Superman versus Batman trailer.
Suicide Squad is going to be a very interesting movie when it comes out. And it's either going to be really, really good are really, really awful.
You know what it depends on, in my opinion?
What's that?
Humor.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I mean, because like you saw the Jared Leto Joker,
which I'm not sure I buy.
You know what? I kind of into it a little bit. I mean, it's more of an older school Joker and everything like that, or at least the look of his face is.
Yeah.
And I love the line that he put in.
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
that was
I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to hurt you a bit. I mean,
no, a whole lot.
That's right. It was just, it was a great line. I'm not sure I'm sold on Will Smith as a Deadshot.
You're not even going to see his face. It doesn't matter.
Well, no, you're going to see his face because he's Will Smith. I mean, they're not going to do that. But even though I don't know the actress that well that does Harley Quinn, I think she looks fantastic in that role.
She's going to be the star.
She really is, because that potentially, she could steal every single scene that she's in that. But it's just, I think you're right. If there's a lot of humor in it where you can really get past the fact that these are really, really bad people that
doing rough things.
Yeah, that are trying to do right for one reason or another, then it could potentially be good. Anyway, we kind of went off a little bit on a tangent there.
All right, well, after all that, why don't you warm it up, Chris?
Warm it up, Chris!
I'm about to.
Warm it up, Chris!
That's what I was born into.
Jonathan, I'm about to. So here's the drill for today. Once again, I am untethered. I'm without a leash. I do not have the Split Decisions book any longer.
You're untethered.
I am untethered. So I have to go and try to find and scour for questions that are off kilter and a little offbeat for this segment. And so this time we are going to play a game called, Was This Crazy Enough to Be Sold on Amazon.com?
Okay.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read you off a few things, and you're going to tell me if this is crazy enough to be sold on Amazon.com right now. In other words, it's either you can go out on Amazon and buy this stuff, or you can't.
Okay.
All right. So the very first one is werewolf urine. Werewolf urine.
Yes, you can buy that.
That is incorrect. You made that up? I made that
well
up.
Well done.
Now, there used to be where you could buy wolf urine on Amazon,
but they have now
decided to stop selling animal fluids online.
See, I figured that people would just throw anything in a box and sell it.
You're not kidding, man. All right. So your next one is an infant circumcision kit. An infant circumcision kit. And yes, snip, snip.
I got to say yes. I can just imagine a little guillotine for the moil to snip the tip.
Oh, man. For $39.99, yes, you can buy that on Amazon.com.
Nice.
All right. Your next one is unicorn meat. Unicorn meat.
You just said no animal products. I'm saying no.
Well, no animal urine fluids. And yes, you can find unicorn meat on Amazon.
You can.
It actually is in the shape. I'm sure it's not. Well, obviously, unicorn.
It's not real unicorn meat.
It's not 100% unicorn meat. But the funny part is it's in a spam can.
Oh,
I know, right? And it has unicorn meat written over it. So that's pretty funny. All right. The next one is a poop stress ball. A stress ball in the shape of poo.
No.
Yes, you can't find that on Amazon. $9.99.
$9.99?
Yes.
Does that stinks.
Very well played. The next one, a 55-gallon keg of lube.
No?
Yes. You can't find that on Amazon.com.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes.
I'm terrible at this.
And by the way, you can, the ones that I'm saying yes, you can find on Amazon.com, you can find a wonderful listing of all these stuff on thehuffingtonpost.com and a few that I'm not able to say.
Oh, my goodness.
Online because I told you one of them before we got on, and it was rough. Okay, the next thing I have written down is a gangster rap coloring book. Gangster rap coloring book.
All right, game theory. I just said no twice, and it was yes. If I say yes now, it's going to be no, so I'm going to stick with my third no in a row.
The answer is yes, you can.
Oh, my God, you're out game theorying
you
me.
You can buy the chronic coloring book on Amazon.com.
Oh.
All right. The last one I've written down.
The answer is going to be no.
Okay. The last one I've written down is a Sigmund Freud action figure.
No.
Yes, you can't find that on Amazon.
You went with four yeses in a row?
Actually, five. That's correct.
Oh, Chris.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Outsmarted me.
Some of this stuff was just too funny not to include. The Sigmund Freud action figure does not come with a couch, however. I was a little disappointed with that.
Oh.
It really should.
Does it come with an id?
and a superego.
All right, well done. Yeah.
All right. And that, my friends, is your warming up Chris question of the day.
Good job by you.
Thank you.
Not by me.
You know what? That's the best part about the warming up Chris questions is the fact that there's a reason why there's no points on these things.
You're not kidding. All right, well, let's go ahead and get started. I will ask you the first question.
Excellent. Round one.
Round one, your category is television characters.
Okay. I like the subject already. That's good stuff.
Eliza Dushku joined the cast of Buffy the Vampire Slayer in season 3. What was her character's first name? And I'll give you 2 bonus points if you can give me her first and last name.
One, love the question. 2, big Joss Whedon fan. I think he's the only guy that can write vampires, by the way. And
what?
Yes.
Did he do The Lost Boys?
No, he did not. Oh, that's a fair point. That's a good movie. That's a good movie. But I'm talking about just current movie, like the Stephanie Meyer stuff, please. Her name was Faith, and I'm trying to remember her last name. And
I'll be impressed if you get it.
It's like Lehane.
Is that your answer?
Yes, it is.
That's correct.
Yes.
Wow.
Woo!
You nailed that, man.
Yeah.
That's 12 points for you.
Excellent. I like the start of that.
You know, she turned down a spinoff. There was supposed to be a Faith spinoff after Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and Dushku said no.
Yeah. And she ended up regretting that decision because later on she came back to Joss Whedon and asked if there was a show that they potentially could produce together and create together, and that's how the TV show Dollhouse came about.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And that was about 5 years after.
I don't know how well that did, but she was smoking hot.
So, Jonathan, your first question in round one is memorials.
Memorials.
Memorials, yes. Okay, so, Jonathan, what is the significance of the 4,048 gold stars that are on the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C.?
The 4,048. 48?
Gold stars on the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C.
4048.
Yes. And I should say, but while you're thinking about this, some of my questions today came from the Trivia Day calendar.
That's not a big number in terms of death or casualty in World War II. But if it's on a memorial, you would think that it has something to do with death or casualty. It could be missing people that they never found or couldn't identify. I don't know where the stars are, if they're next to names or not. The other thing that I'm thinking about is Pearl Harbor, and possibly it being the number of people that died in the sneak attack on Pearl Harbor. I don't know. I'm going to guess that it's the number of people who were missing in action and never found.
Okay. The actual answer, sir, is each star represents 100 military deaths during the war.
Oh, okay. So 400,000.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't anywhere near that.
Okay. All right, you're kind of getting around there, and also...
I wasn't anywhere near that.
Okay, well, but usually you do this uncanny thing where you seem to be out in left field, and then all of a sudden, bam, you're at home plate, and it's like, what the heck? How did he do that?
So, Not that time, my friend. All right, round two. Your question is a song lyrics question.
All right, I like song lyrics. I sing them all the time.
I want you to give me the name of the song that contains this lyric.
Okay.
Did you think I was going to hang myself for littering? Did you think I was going to hang myself for littering?
Wow. Now, the good news is with this, anytime they do a song lyrics question in pub trivia, they usually play a song and it just throws you off because the song is so completely opposite of what the question is. So thankfully I don't have that, but hang myself for littering. Say it one more time, please.
Did you think I was going to hang myself for littering?
I don't know. I really do not know.
Do you want more time?
No, it's not coming to me. I don't want to waste it.
All right. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant.
Wow.
And Obi, being a good cop that he was, took my wallet in my belt, and I said, now, Obi, I can understand why you would want my wallet so I don't buy anything while I'm in the jail cell, but why do you want my belt? Boy, we don't want any hangings. Obi, did you think I was going to hang myself for littering?
Very nicely done. No, I'm glad I didn't waste her time. I would not have thought.
Never going to get there?
Nope, was not going to get there.
Oh, that is one of my favorite songs. I love that song.
I know
song.
You do. You've we have talked about that for sure. So, all right. So, your second round, second question is, or second round question is our friend Ben's favorite category, literature.
Literature.
All right. In the Harry Potter book series, Jonathan, what is the first spell Hogwarts students are taught in their first year charms class?
Charms was with Flitwick, who was, what's that dude's name?
Wicket?
Wicket.
Warwick Davis.
He was, yeah, he was Willow.
He was Willow, and he was also Wicket the Ewok.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. And the Leprechaun in the Leprechaun movies.
Really?
Yes.
How about that?
Yeah.
So I'm leaning towards Wingardium Leviosa. It's the swish and flick. Yeah, I think that's what I'm going with. Wingardium Leviosa.
Final answer?
Yep.
Correct.
Nice.
I was wondering if you're going to try to talk yourself out of that.
No, well, I thought about Alohomora and a couple of other ones, but that's the one that I remembered most clearly.
Right. And I believe Alohomora was not in the, was.
Yeah, I'm not sure it was.
I don't think they ever taught that. I think they just found out about it, you know?
I don't remember any other actual charms spells.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. Interesting. All right.
All right, round three.
All right, so what do we got point-wise now?
It is 12 to 10.
All right, slight lead by me.
Yes. Round three is a movies question.
Okay.
What movie held the record for highest grossing film when it was broken by Titanic in 1998?
Ooh. See, this is a very interesting question because it could be one of two. It's either E.T. the Extraterrestrial or it's the original Star Wars A New Hope. The reason why it's a tricky question is because it was E.T. for the longest time. And then...
Whoa. For the longest time.
Thank you, Billy Joel. Anyway, going back to what my answer is, or going back to me talking about this, thing is that Star Wars back in 97 had the re-releases where it was the special remastered editions and everything like that.
Was that 97?
That was 97.
Oh.
And it made over $100 million.
Wow.
Yes, it made over $100 million. And so much so that... Howard Stern's movie, Private Parts, was coming out that year. And they postponed that movie a couple weeks because Star Wars was making so much money. Interesting little tidbit for you there. So, I'm hesitant on this because it's one of the two. And I'm going to say it's Star Wars A New Hope.
Jurassic Park is frightening in the dark.
Are you sure about
that? The answer was Jurassic Park. Okay. Jurassic Park was just under $1 billion when it got blown past by Titanic that eventually landed at $1.8 billion.
Okay, Jonathan, your third question, it's history and food. A couple of questions ago, I asked you a World War II question. Well, here's another one for you.
Oh, good, because I was alive then.
Nice. What was the first food item that was rationed in the U.S. during World War II?
Rationed food.
What was the first food item rationed in the U.S. during World War II?
Cigarettes. No.
Ew.
It's not a food.
It's disgusting thinking about people eating that junk.
So I think about milk. I think about meat. I think about rice. So I truly don't know. I have no clue. But I'm going to go with chocolate.
You're on the right path. Unfortunately, that's not correct. The answer is sugar.
Oh.
They began rationing sugar in the spring of 1942, and it did not end until 1947.
I wish I'd have thought that through a little bit longer. I might have gotten there.
Mm.
Well, after three rounds, it's still 12 to 10.
We are just blazing the charts.
Woo!
Exactly.
But your fourth question, my friend.
Fourth round.
Your category is rich people.
Love the category name.
Excellent. What famous investor is known as the Oracle of Omaha?
No, what was Edison's nickname? I know Edison's not my answer, but didn't he have like the Wizard or something like that?
He was the Wizard of Menlo Park.
Thank you. That's what I was thinking of. Okay. Okay.
Should have asked that one.
Well, I would have remembered that, but that's a great question, by the way. It is, oh my gosh. Name's here. It's right here.
And when he says here, he's pointing at his butt. I mean temples. It was close.
I'm not a butthead. Butthead.
Butthead.
Beavis and Butthead. Oh, what is that dude's name? Ah, Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett is absolutely correct.
Nice.
Good job. Why didn't pull that out?
Yep, yep. So, Jonathan, your next question is sports stadiums.
I like sports. I like stadiums. All right. I should be good at this.
How much were the naming rights to the new Pittsburgh Steelers 65,000-seat stadium under the 20-year deal that was reached with the H.J. Heinz Company in 2001?
So the Steelers play at Heinz Field, so that's where the naming rights you're talking about are. Heinz, there's a number associated with Heinz, and that's 57. I'm betting it's not $57. I'm betting it's not $5,700. I'm pretty willing to wager it's not $57 billion. So I'm going to just take a stab in the dark. Stab, dark, stab in the dark. Everybody stab in the dark. And I'm going to go with $57
million. $57
million
is correct.
Yeah.
Echoing the Heinz 57 variety slogan.
There we go.
The stadium is known as Heinz Field. Well done, man.
Thank you. That was an interesting question.
I thought you might like it.
I did like that. All right, you're about to hit your what I will term to be your tougher section of the game.
Okay.
All right, this middle three questions here, you have to put your thinking cap on.
Possibly could make or break me. Got it.
It will. Break you. Like Ben.
You must break. I must break you. Thanks, Dolph Lundgren.
All right, round five.
Okay.
Your category is modern history.
Oh, goody. It's modern. It's history. It's modern history.
Film at 11. What military dictator was removed from power and taken as a prisoner of war when the U.S. invaded Panama in 1989?
Oh, man. That's such a good question.
I remember this as a kid happening. Yeah. I had no idea what the reason was or anything like that, but I remember it.
I'm going to go by the Jonathan Oakes theory that you should only go with last names and say Ortega.
Is that your answer?
That's my answer.
That is incorrect, my friend.
Oh!
I'm sorry. I don't remember an Ortega.
Mm.
This was Noriega.
Oh,
Manuel Noriega.
Dadgummit.
So check this out. He gave himself a fancy title when he was ruling the nation. He called himself the maximum leader of national liberation.
Wow.
The maximum leader. His friends called him Big Boss.
I was going to say, his friends called him Delta Bravo.
So check this out. After being tried in the U.S., he was imprisoned until 2007, right? From 1989 to 2007.
Sure, yeah.
Then he was extradited to France, where he was serving time from 2010 to 2011. Then he was extradited to Panama for murder and money laundering. Oh, no, sorry. In France, he was extradited there for murder and money laundering. Then he was extradited to Panama, where he is currently serving 20 years as of 2011.
Wow.
So basically, the countries are just trading him in their jails until he dies.
I'm surprised he's not. I thought he'd be dead by now, to be honest with you. But
you would think.
Yeah.
I wonder. We haven't heard much from him.
Yeah. Well, there's a good reason. He's in jail.
Good point.
Yeah. Ortega Noriega. Darn it.
Was that who you were thinking
yeah,
of?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was
wow.
thinking of. And I had Manuel in my head.
Manuel.
Yeah, Manuel in my head. But just, I wasn't 100% sure on that, but I was positive it was Ortega. No, it's Noriega.
It's Noriega.
Yeah. Are you ready for your fifth question?
I am.
Of this game. Excellent. Jonathan, this category is not science, but it's scientists.
Scientists.
Watch your mouth, mister. Remember, many, many episodes ago, Carmela asked us a color wheel question. Who was the famous 17th century scientist that invented the color wheel?
Oh, boy. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Color wheel, 17th century scientist?
Yes. I thought it was only fair to kind of throw that in there for you.
Yes, I appreciate that. I don't know the answer, but I do remember reading about a scientist from about that time period experimenting with prisms. And prisms, he
is it the same prism that Noriega's in?
Yes, he was experimenting with the prisms that Noriega's been staying in.
My apologies.
No, that's well done. And so he was basically focusing light into the prism and seeing the spectrum of colors come out of it. Now the question is, who was doing that? Two names come to mind. Galileo and Newton. I think Galileo was a century before, though. Maybe even two centuries before. Newton's right in that. He was 1600s, like 1650-ish time period. Newton had laws of motion.
And he had the locomotion.
Come on, come on, do the locomotion with me. He did, yes. I mean, there's other scientists in that time period, but I'm going to go with Newton.
And Newton is absolutely correct.
Was it really?
Yes, it is.
All right.
Nice job, man.
That was cool. I like that question.
You like that?
I did not know that.
Yeah. I just thought it was kind of neat because I remember liking the question that Carmela asked us, and I was like, let's do some investigating on this.
Ben asked us a color wheel question, too.
Yes, he did.
About primary and secondary colors.
That's right.
So with that, after five rounds, I took a lead. It is now 30 to 22.
Oh, man. All right.
Your sixth round question is ancient history.
Oh, goody. I'm noticing a trend here.
I want to try the top and the bottom.
Hmm.
All right. What is the collective name for the wars between Rome and Carthage that occurred between 264 BC and 146 BC?
Another good question, man.
Thank you. This is one of my favorite wars.
Yeah.
Or one of, it's multiple wars, but there's some legendary specific stories about this one.
I'm going to say it was the Peloponnesian War.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
I think you got your P words mixed up. Peloponnesian is the Greek peninsula.
Oh, crap. Okay.
It's the Punic Wars.
Okay, no. No, I really thought it was Peloponnesian.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Punic does
so
not.
So the Punic Wars, the second Punic War, is very famous. It's the war where Hannibal crossed the Alps.
With the elephants, okay.
With the elephants, that's right. He had his men training in Spain and literally went on a campaign. His father was the leader of a set of forces in the first Punic Wars, and he was basically going to avenge his father, and he crossed the Alps with those elephants and went in there and kicked
wow.
some rear end.
Man.
Anytime you want to read about a neat history story, that's a great one to look at.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Jonathan, your sixth round question is the human body.
I have one. I'm not very knowledgeable about it, though.
All right. Well, let's find out. How often is the entire adult human skeleton replaced?
Hasn't happened to me yet.
Ba-da-bum.
How do you mean?
How often is the entire adult human skeleton replaced?
I mean, none? Ever? I don't understand. No. How does... Are you talking about like shedding it like a snake skin or
no,
skeleton?
Not, yes. Skeleton.
I understand skin.
No, skeleton. Remember, bones grow. They also get deteriorated and get replaced.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay.
I've backed it up, but if you would like another question, I can give you another question.
No, it's a fine question.
You sound very disbelieved.
That's a numbers question, but... Seven's a nice magic number. We'll go with 7 years.
Okay. Actually, it's every 10 years.
Eh.
Thanks to a cell renewal process known as remodeling that removes and replaces approximately 10% of an individual bone mass annually.
Huh.
Yeah.
How about that? I did not know.
Yeah.
So my bones right now
you know.
Are different than my bones from 10 years ago?
That's correct, yes. Because remember, it's just, we don't think about it because it's not like you replace a bone in your arm or whatever. It's just, but it does get, it does deteriorate and a new bone grows around it.
How about that?
Yeah.
Does the marrow get replaced?
I believe it does, yes. Hmm. I mean, I did not read about that, but I would imagine if the bone was replaced, then the marrow would almost have to be replaced. All right, so after six rounds.
After six rounds, we're still at 30 to 22.
Man, we are just blazing up the charts
here.
We
are being hard on each other right now.
All
right,
so what is your third question in this line of three?
It's a geography question.
Okay, you threw me off because it was modern history, ancient history, and now geography?
Geography and history are very much related. Geography determines history.
All right. Fair enough. I was just waiting. I thought it was going to be semi-modern history or toilet history or
ancient history
or hardcore history.
It's a dinosaur question. Geography.
All right.
Oddly enough, we've talked about Scandinavia a couple of times recently.
Crap.
I wrote this before those conversations were had.
Yeah.
Which of the countries on the Scandinavian mainland is the smallest?
Fredonia. That's not my answer. You know what Fredonia is, right?
I don't.
Okay. Fredonia is a made-up country that was done in the Marx Brothers movie Duck Soup. That there was an ambassador of Fredonia. from time to time, and this is just a little thing, you'll have politicians get questions from reporters who think they don't know anything about what their thought process on the situation in Fredonia is. And usually the politician will go, well, that's something that we're currently studying right now, and we're very concerned about it, or something around those words.
Oh, my God.
It's really outstanding.
Wow.
So, yeah. And also, again, Fredonia is one of those things that is also mentioned a couple times in the TV show The West Wing. But go back to your question. The smallest...
On the Scandinavian mainland.
Man, geography is definitely not... I'm actually pretty okay. I'm okay in history, and I really bombed those history questions, which really stinks. And now, to be able to bomb a geography question, I really need to start studying the Scandinavian coast, because this is not the first Scandinavian question you've also asked me either.
You're right. So, there's not that many countries, so you have a pretty good shot.
I mean, it could be Sweden, it could be Finland, it could be Denmark. I think Finland's too big. I don't want to say Finland. I think Sweden's too big. I'm going to say Denmark. Final answer.
Okay. Sweden is one of the long ones on the peninsula.
Right.
And Finland's one of the long ones on the peninsula. The smallest one's not actually on the peninsula. It comes up from Germany. And that one's Denmark.
Nice.
You got it right.
Woo! Man.
Big 10 points you needed right there.
I really did. That was awesome.
Well done.
Thank you.
You went right through it. You figured it out.
So, Jonathan, your seventh round question is games.
Don't play games with me.
All right. And you have a potential of getting some bonus points here.
Oh, well, I'm glad you chose this one then.
All right. So, Jonathan, within 6 inches in the game of darts, how high above the floor should the center of the bullseye be? And for 2 bonus points, get the bullseye and tell me exactly what it is.
You jerk. So I'm tall.
You are tall.
And I look down at the bullseye of a dartboard.
Okay.
I am 72 inches tall. No, I'm not. I'm 77 inches tall. I bet you that it's 5 to 5.5-ish feet. I'm going to guess 60... Hold on, let me think.
Actually, I have it in feet and inches, so if you want to give it to me in feet and inches, you can.
Okay.
But I totaled it up. As soon as you were trying to think about the inches part, I just wrote it down just to make sure.
I feel like 6 feet is too tall, because that would be almost eye level. I feel like 5 feet is too low. I'm going to say 5.5 feet.
Okay. So 65 inches is what you're telling me.
66 inches is what I'm telling you.
The answer, Jonathan, is 5 feet, 8 inches, or 68 inches.
I was only 2 inches off.
You're only 2 inches off, so that answer is absolutely correct.
Wow, good job, so, Jonathan.
Thank
you, Jonathan.
Under the regulation of both the American Darts Organization and the British Darts Organization. And by the way, there's an American and a British Darts Organization? Really?
Well, somebody's got to make money by sitting in bars drinking and arguing about darts.
Besides my dad, fair point.
Hey-o.
Anyway.
Sorry, Dad.
Nah, I'm kidding. He knows that.
You aren't kidding.
Anyway, so that's 10 points to you, my friend.
Yeah, I'm surprised it was such a non-standard number. I thought it was either going to be on the foot or on the foot and a half.
I'm pretty sure because it said by the bullseye, and so I'm pretty sure that the top of it is probably 6 feet.
Oh.
You see what I'm talking about?
No. Oh, the top of the dartboard.
Yeah, the top of the dartboard.
You think the circle is a foot tall? From top to bottom?
Well, I think potentially what I was thinking was, yeah, it's about, okay. About 4 to 6 inches from bullseye to top, so.
Yeah, definitely not 4, probably maybe 6-ish.
Yeah.
Okay. All
right. Doesn't matter. You got it right.
It matters. I wanted bonus points.
Okay. Well, you're 2 inches off.
All right. You've made it out of your tough period. You were 1 for 3 in there.
Okay.
Round 8 for you is a sports question.
All right.
Most people know that Tony Gonzalez has the all-time record for the most touchdown receptions by a tight end.
Yes, he does.
Can you tell me who is number 2 on that list with 99 touchdown catches?
Wow. And this is, tight end, not receivers.
Tight
correct?
End.
Okay. So a couple of names come to mind. For example, newly suspended Antonio Gates. I know he's creeping up the charts.
With a bullet.
Ba-dum-bum. Sterling Sharp's brother, Shannon, comes to mind. And I'm not even going to try to mimic his lisp that he talks with when he's on. I don't even know what you're trying to do there.
that's what he sounds like to me.
Oh, I got you. So let's go back to the question then.
I never left it.
Thank you. Is there anybody I'm not thinking of? Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go with Sterling's baby brother, Shannon Sharp.
The answer, with 99 touchdowns, is Antonio Gates.
Dang it!
Oh,
man.
Man, you were on it. You went there first and everything.
Yeah. I thought he was coming up to it, but I didn't think he... I didn't think he got it yet. So
he did.
Yeah. Dadgummit. All right. Jonathan, your eighth round question is food.
Food. Food. Food.
Are you done yet?
Yes.
What popular candy treat was marketed in the late 1800s under the name Chicken Feed?
Chicken Feed.
Yes. What popular candy treat was marketed in the late 1800s under the name Chicken Feed?
Chicken Feed. All right, I'm not going to give myself too much time to think here. I think chickens eat corn. I'm going with candy corn.
Candy corn is correct.
Yeah! That came straight to my head, and I was like, nope, don't bother, just go with it.
There you go. Nice job, man.
So after eight rounds, it is 50 to 32. You've got a chance to get there, but you've got to get both of these right.
All right.
Your round nine question is a books and movies question.
Okay.
What novel by Anthony Burgess is better known now for the movie of the same name starring Malcolm McDowell?
I believe that is A Clockwork Orange.
I'm sorry. The answer is A Clockwork Blue.
Nice.
No. All right, Orange. You are right. Good job. Nice. Yes. Which way did you get that? Because of the book's author?
No, because
or
of
Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah, because Malcolm McDowell didn't star in very many movies.
But he is a recognizable face if you know who he is.
He absolutely is. And also, I mean, once again, Stanley Kubrick is not one of my favorite directors. And that movie was so messed up in so many different ways.
But I didn't mention Stanley Kubrick.
I know, but...
Because I didn't want to give it away.
Yeah, I just know it. And, ugh. Anyway.
So now I watched that as a 20-something. Yeah, and I got to tell you, I hadn't read the book. And I didn't know what I was expecting from it. But I don't remember finishing it. It was profoundly disturbing to me as a 20-something-year-old. I literally turned off the DVD or VHS.
Yeah, I was told you have to be on drugs.
Yeah, I'm not. This is because the first thing that happened is like you got these guys wearing these crazy outfits basically breaking into people's houses and beating people up.
Yeah.
And it was just like, and this is, I was never, I'm not a big fan of criminal violence from a movie, so I didn't like a lot of the Boys in the Hood kind of stuff either. And this was just a real big turnoff for me.
Yeah. So, Jonathan, you have a geography question.
I like geography.
All right. Jonathan, your geography question is thus. Where in the world is Mocha, the town for which high-quality Arabian coffee is named?
I hate geography questions.
You like geography questions normally.
Mocha, Arabian coffee. Arabian coffee is going to be named for somewhere in Arabia. So do you want the country name?
Yes, I want the country name.
Well, you would wonder if it might be Saudi Arabia because it's Arabian coffee. I wonder if the other countries consider themselves... Well, yeah, they do. Arab countries. Could be Oman.
Or
Oman.
Or a woman.
Could be Yemen.
Yemen.
Could be Yewomen.
That's good.
Could be Kuwait. Could be Iraq, Iran. I want to name something that's obviously an Arab country, and the biggest one over there is Saudi Arabia. But you wouldn't have asked that if the answer was Saudi Arabia, because that's too obvious.
Is this game theory?
Yeah.
Take your drink, everybody.
Let me think about what I know about coffees.
Did you just pluralize that and say coffees?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking. I don't think coffees is the plural. I think just coffee is the plural for.
That's an interesting point. I'm going to
check the show notes.
I'm going to stick with coffees.
Okay.
It's not coffee.
I have a family full of cooking coffees.
Yes, you do. Yemen is starting to stand out among the countries that I've named. What I'm trying to do is think about the grocery store and if any of those bags have a country's name on them. Maybe I'm just making this up.
Okay.
But I feel like there's a bag of coffee with the word Yemen on it. So I'm going with Yemen.
Yemen is correct.
Is it really?
Yes.
I wonder if I really, if there is a brand of coffee called Yemen.
I can't help you there.
Man, I'm really surprised to get that right.
Well, great job, man.
Thank you.
How's that feel?
Fantastic. All right, your 10th question. Science.
Science!
Hard.
Science!
What word refers to a chemical that is secreted or excreted that triggers a social response from members of the same species? I'll repeat it slowly.
That's tough. Think about what it's saying. The wording is just very challenging, is what I'm trying to say.
Think about what it's saying. Here, I'll read it again.
Okay.
What word refers to a chemical? So you're looking for the name of a type of chemical that is secreted or excreted that triggers a social response from members of the same species.
Okay. I think the answer is pheromone.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
That's correct.
Nice.
Good job. Way to finish strong.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well done.
All right. So, Jonathan, your 10th round question is thus.
Okay. What's the category?
Art.
I like art.
All right.
What was nice to me when I was a kid.
Ba-dum-bum. What artist has had more of their paintings stolen than any other?
So we know the reputation for the Mona Lisa, and it makes you think, hey, maybe it's Da Vinci, but Da Vinci wasn't a prolific artist, so I don't think it's Da Vinci. I know one guy that it's definitely not, and that's Michelangelo. Because, buddy, it's hard to get up on that scaffolding to steal that ceiling.
or take that big old sculpture.
That's right. Now, yeah. You said artist. You said paintings.
No, any other paintings. That's their point, yeah.
Okay, so it's a painter.
More of their paintings stolen than any other.
Well, and in the older guys, you'd think there's more time to be stolen. So you would think about Raphael, perhaps. But I'm leaning towards modern times. I'm leaning towards Picasso or Warhol. And I think I'm going to go with Picasso. Those became very valuable in the 1900s. In a time where people were probably more apt to be stealing the paintings. I honestly don't think that the older paintings were monetarily valuable at that time. I think that's a recent phenomenon for collectors. So I'm going to say Picasso.
Pablo Picasso is correct.
Yeah!
With 1,147 of his paintings listed by the Art Loss Register, which helps track and recover stolen art around the world.
Are you serious?
Very much so.
Okay, so one thing that makes me like, wow, is he painted 1,000 things?
Well, remember, a lot of those paintings also were like, I mean, were, it wasn't necessarily just like, I mean, large paintings. There were also a lot of smaller ones. And then those lithographs that had like 20 or 30 or so that were, because they were Picasso that did them.
Oh, also, and they saw all of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Oh, wow. That's a lot of paintings though.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hey, after 10 rounds, going into the final question. I have 70. You have 52.
Okay.
Now, to those of our listeners who are like, man, you guys suck today. This is some really low scores. I would remind you that when we play one-on-one, it's simply a 10-question game. So at this point, the best score you could have is 100 points. Chris, your final question is going to be in the category of classic television.
Okay. And Jonathan, your final round question is in the category of the National Football League.
Oh, boy. Oakley dokley. Let's put our wages down.
So you said I had 52?
You have 52, and I have 70.
Okay. My score's locked in.
All right.
All right. So, Jonathan.
I'm going to ask you your question first.
Oh, sorry. You're right. My apologies.
Your classic television question.
Okay.
The Three Stooges had multiple incarnations, but the four most popular and recognizable characters are Moe, Larry, Curly, and Shemp. I want you to put them in order, from the one with the earliest birthday to the one with the most recent birthday.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I love my question. While you're thinking, I'll give you a tidbit.
Okay.
Shimp's real name was Samuel.
Yes.
He was called Shimp because that's how Sam sounded in his mother's accent. Tap!
Okay, I feel comfortable with saying that Curly is going to be the youngest. Because I saw the Three Stooges biopic probably about 6 months ago.
Oh, that's very helpful for you.
Yeah, a little bit. And again, Michael Chiklis played Curly.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Neat fact. Do you know what Curly's real name is?
No, I can't remember. I know it, but I can't remember it.
Jerome.
Jerome, that's right.
Curly was Jerome. They called him Jerry.
Yeah.
More fun facts while you're thinking. Because when you look at the Three Stooges, you get enveloped, right?
Sure.
Moe's real name is Moses.
Yes.
Larry's real name
is Larry.
Lewis.
Oh, was it Lewis?
Lewis.
Oh. But I think he went by Larry, I think.
Possibly.
All right. It's a great question. Super hard. It really is kind of hard because it's just... When I was thinking classic TV, I was thinking putting TV shows in order and stuff like that. But
to be fair, I would have nailed this in a heartbeat.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Interesting. Okay. My answer is Larry, then Moe, then Shimp, then Curly.
Okay. Did you know that Shimp and Moe and Curly are all brothers?
Yes. That I knew.
The Howard brothers.
Yes.
Their real name was Horvitz.
Yes.
Shimp was the oldest brother.
Oh man,
Shimp okay. was the oldest.
I thought Moe in the TV show or in the movie that I saw said that he's called him younger brother. So that's why I went with that.
So Shimp was the oldest, and actually he left the group first and went out and did a solo career.
Well, not only that, but also he got tired of being the butt of the jokes.
Not actually.
Mm.
He got tired of. There was actually this other guy who was the head guy.
Yes.
And it was that guy and the Three Stooges, and he was tired of not being the head guy.
Yeah.
But even when he went out on a solo career, he was the butt of the jokes. Like, he did a bit called The World's Ugliest Man. So Shemp was the oldest brother, Moe was the second oldest, Larry was third, Curly was the youngest.
Wow.
Shemp, okay. Moe, Larry, Curly.
Man. Okay, I went Larry first just because of hair alone. So, all right, good question. Really tough.
Good try.
Let's see how you do now. All right?
Okay.
Jonathan, your NFL question is this. In the order from the highest to the lowest rank, rank the following players with the most MVP or Player of the Year awards.
Or Player of the Year.
Yes.
MVP, like Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year?
No. It was either MVP or Player of the Year. Remember, Offensive and Defensive Player of the Year is a fairly recent thing.
I'm not familiar with a Player of the Year award at all. Okay.
In the last 5 or 6 years, they've gone with Player of the Year, which is they have an Offensive MVP and a Defensive MVP, but now they have Player of the Year. This is the guy that was ranked the best player in the NFL at this point in time.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you four names, and you rank them from highest to lowest.
Okay.
And a number of awards given.
Highest to lowest.
All right. Your first name is Peyton Manning. Your second name is your favorite guy, Tom Brady. The third guy is Brett Favre. Your final name is Adrian Peterson.
Kind of tough.
Yep.
I think I may be flip-flopping Favre and Manning.
Okay.
But from highest to lowest, I'm going to say Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, Tom Brady, and Adrian Peterson.
Okay. With one MVP Player of the Year award, Adrian Peterson.
I thought I said two, but yeah.
Okay. With two, Tom Brady.
All right. I had him at three.
With three, Brett Favre.
Yeah!
And with four, Peyton Manning.
Nailed it!
Nice job, man. Nice.
That was a little, I couldn't remember. I felt like Favre had more than three.
Yeah. Nope. He just had three.
Huh.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yep, yep. So what'd you bet, brother?
I bet 35.
All right.
Because that's... I thought you were going to get the Three Stooges question right, and I wanted to be able to top your score in case you bet at all.
Yeah, I should have gone with my gut, which was to bet zero, because I thought you might, but I actually bet the farm. I bet 52.
52.
Yep, so I goose-egged.
So the final score is Jonathan, 105. Mr. Hollister, goose-egged.
Yeah, I goose-egged.
Sorry about that, brother.
No, that's all right, man. This was a good... Good, tough, but fair.
It was quality questions all around, I feel.
It really was. I'm not disappointed or upset in this one bit. But nice win, man. Real nice win.
You know,
you got to love getting the last answer right.
It was only recently that you won three in a row. And yes. I know this show is going to be released at a random time. But truthfully, after losing three in a row... You get kind of paranoid, and your competitive juices start flowing a little bit more.
You
really want to win.
You're licking your wounds, for sure.
For real. So, as always, we want to encourage you guys to check out our website. We're at www.trivialwarfare.com. You can like us on Facebook.
Yes.
You can follow us on Twitter.
Yes.
You can subscribe on iTunes.
Yes.
Or you can download... Our Trivial Warfare app.
Yes.
Because we have an app for that.
And you know what else they can do?
What can they do?
They can write an iTunes review for us.
You know, I really love those. I can't tell you, there's two things that make me feel warm and fuzzy inside when I'm doing this. Right?
Yes.
Every so often, I'll check our stats, and when we're having a good day or good couple of days, I just feel really happy, you know? But the thing that makes me happiest...
Like Pharrell Williams happy?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think I ever get that happy. But I do get happy when I see good stats. I get happier. The thing that just makes me bubble over is going out to iTunes and seeing a new review where somebody thought that we did a great job.
Oh, yeah.
So if you guys want to give me a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling... Just go out and put a couple of words. You go to you have to have downloaded iTunes on your machine.
Yes.
But if you have, you go to podcast, search for Trivial Warfare, go to ratings and review, and say write a review. And it's that simple. All right. Chris, why don't you get us out of here?
Sounds good. Guys, you can also contact Jonathan at trivialwarfare@gmail.com. Again, that's trivial with an L, warfare@gmail.com. One word. And we just want to say thank you so much for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this episode. It was a lot of fun to record. You know, an old school classic, for
sure. It's an instant classic.
It's an instant classic. That's right. Anyway, until next time, my name's Chris. His name is Jonathan, and we are Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war.
Bye-bye.
I'm begging.
No, we don't beg.
I'm really begging.
We don't beg.
Please?